today we are going to discuss the battle for top four, or the battle for not making it to the top four, as I'd like to call it at this moment, because everyone just seems to not want to be in that Champions League spot.
And it's frustrating because you know these are schoolboy errors. We go to MSSA and you won't find these errors. I'm sure Shubham would have done a better job at times.
Firstly, I think in terms of Ole, in terms of the window, I think he was backed because he did get in some big signings. But again, see, backing is not just for the money spent and the players brought in. It is a lot to do with the kind of player that fits the system.
So do you think Tottenham has it in them to keep both United and Arsenal at bay?
It's tough. It's Tottenham. Otherwise, I would have said yes.
But Lacazette, I don't know when he scored his last goal from open play. I have no memory or recollection.
It was back in December. I read a tweet today. It was back in December.
December of which year is my question.
They have a much better manager in Antonio Conte, I'm going to say.
Of course.
So there's no question about that. So you can talk about all this bullshit. At the end of the day, Conte is a winner. Arteta is...
I will never say Conte is not a winner.
One minute.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of All About Sports, a podcast for the fans, by the fans. I have with me my co-host Mazhar.
Hey everyone.
And Shubham.
Hey guys.
And we are here to bring you another take on a sport we love, which is football. But before we get into it, I just like to tell you that in our last week's episode, our resident F1 expert Fuzail discussed with Rishabh as to where this season's headed. More of a F1/Ferrari podcast, because well, we have a massive fanboy in Fuzail, and Ferrari is doing as well as they are up until now before the significant upgrades kick in for the other Merc. But anyway, today we are going to discuss the battle for top four, or the battle for not making it to the top four, as I'd like to call it at this moment, because everyone just seems to not want to be in that Champions League spot. We have three perfectly set up people for this debate. Okay, I'm an Arsenal fan, for those who don't know. Mazhar and Shubham are Manchester United fans. We've been debating how these two clubs have given us the ups and downs and the highs and lows of football for years on the trot. And I'm going to start off with Maz. Maz, United had, I think, what? They lost recently to a relegation-threatened Everton. Right? There was a game against Norwich. What happened there?
Cristiano Ronaldo happened, as he always does, Gui. That's just, about it.
Just so, I mean, this man is having to save you against Norwich also. Like, okay, I have to say it because, well, there has to be some banter, which I will receive in a few minutes also. but come on, like, United with the spend that they had, with the signings that they made. I mean, everything seemed right at the start of the season. We bagged Ronaldo, and that guy was bagging goals for fun. I mean, the first 6 or 8 games seemed great, coming off a season where Bruno was like the talk of the town. Free kicks galore, penalties galore, assists galore for someone who seems to have just completely vanished this season. What do you think is going not so well at United right now?
What is going well at United is the question, rather than what is not going on. What is not going well? It's been, we discussed this last time as well. I didn't expect United to finish top four when we reviewed it, with the way it was going and things were going. Ollie was banished as a byproduct of the failure of these players to come together as a team and perform. It all stems down to the ownership at the end of the day. I'm still going to say it. They have no idea what is going on at the club. They have no strategy in place. They have no plans for success. They are literally just milking money out of the club in any way possible. The social media head is a disgrace. Sorry to use that word, but read the room, man. And the stuff they post after United lose, or the stuff they post after the club is being critiqued on so many factors, is just tone deaf. And I just don't understand what's how it's so bad. Like, you can have bad management. I understand football clubs will typically have bad management because there's so much money involved, and those who have the money aren't necessarily football fans. So I get that. But to be so out of it and to be so incompetent is, as owners of such a big property, just seems daft to me. Now, coming to the football side of things, I mean, Ronaldo is just proving what makes him arguably the greatest of all time every single time. Shubham's already gone on that rant about how he's better than Messi, and for the reasons why he's better than Messi, and they are justified. Of course, we all believe that it's not that Ronaldo was robbed of the last Ballon d'Or, Lewandowski was, but the fact that Messi won it was just distasteful altogether. But I mean, the problem stems from lack of leadership on the pitch for United from a football standpoint. Maguire is not captain material. His performances have been shoddy. It was amateurish defending again against Norwich. United, attacking-wise, were brilliant, right? Like, Elanga was tearing it up from the right flank, supporting Ronaldo supremely well. Sancho's making things look easy. He's really settled in. There are still many faults in his performances. He's not perfect, but he'll get there. We'll give him time as well. This is Sancho's first season, so fine. But as you mentioned, Bruno, I don't know, man, what's going wrong. I think it's just that it'll take him time to settle in. I think he's trying too hard. I think he's not playing his natural game because there's obviously the pressure of having Ronaldo alongside him at the end of the day. Same country. They play with each other for Portugal as well. All of these factors also have to be accounted for. But it's not just them. It all starts from the back. 2-0 up, comfortable. It looks like it's comfortable. And they concede absolute dismal goals, which should have never have happened. I feel for De Gea after a point as well, you know. He's been good this season. But what's the point when you can't defend anything coming into the box? You can't cancel out balls. You don't catch them on the offside trap. There's nothing. It's frustrating because you know these are schoolboy errors. We go to MSSA and you won't find these errors. I'm sure Shubham would have done a better job at times playing at left back and right back in such situations. 100%. Like, it's just embarrassing that any team at this elite level can be so poor defensively. And this team had nothing to play for, right? Norwich have absolutely nothing to play for. They're already relegated. This is probably one of the worst performances. They've been good. They've just not been good enough to match up to the other teams. But I'm saying, like, in terms of points gained and so on and so forth, it's been one of the worst campaigns any team has had in the Premier League era. But so it's just weird.
But this is like one of those, right? When people were critiquing Cech a lot when he was in his time at Arsenal, I'm like, but he has Mustafi and Socrates playing in front of him. What? They are 12. You need help, right? If you face maybe 4 shots a game, all right, and you let 4 in, that's bad. Like, if you are facing 15 shots a game, like, you can't help it. The only time 15 shots, I mean 10 plus shots, get saved is when De Gea is playing against Arsenal. He has done it on like multiple occasions where he saves like 10 plus on target attempts against Arsenal. But that's one of the only times, right? It doesn't happen to him throughout the season, like, barring maybe this season and the last. Maybe this season, really. Like, I feel like they are in the same spot as where Arsenal were in terms of having a backline, where slightly better than Socrates and Mustafi combined. And when you think about it, like, those guys were on the last legs of the career. They're not doing much at the moment either.
But that's the thing.
But you can't say the same about Maguire, who you just bought for 80 million, but no, okay, not just, but yes,
even after the
depreciation is accounted for on that.
No, but Gui, forget about the price as well. Forget about everything. He is our captain. at the end of the day, he doesn't even influence, like Henderson, whatever said and done, he may not be the best player on the pitch ever, but at least he's commanding. At least he brings something to the table.
I've his seen experience him shout counts. At Steven Gerrard. I've seen him shout at Steven Gerrard, which is big enough, right?
Exactly.
Okay. And Malu, what do you think about the captaincy problem? Do you think like it is as big a deal in football as it is, say, in cricket, like having a weak captain who can't really command the dressing room, doesn't know what he's doing as such? I mean, because football is much more of a system game than cricket is. So do you think that really hampers United or has hampered United this season?
So I personally feel a captain in football is vital. It's because whatever interviews I've heard a lot of interviews of Roy Keane when he was captain of Manchester United. The captain used to have responsibilities of holding just player meetings when staff wasn't involved, hearing grievances from players. Sometimes when things were bad, you know, getting players together, understanding what's going on, not necessarily always with the staff and the manager, just internal meetings. So I definitely think a captain is important. And obviously, like, if you look at United's captains, we've had Roy Keane, we've had Van der Sar for the longest time. I think even Rio Vidic must have been captain. Rooney must have been captain. So all these players were players who the dressing room respected. Because when these guys would speak up, like, obviously you would listen to them, what they're saying, because not only did they have that aura and that vibe about them that, listen, guys, I command respect. Everything that they spoke, they delivered on the pitch. It's like you're walking the talk, right? So with Maguire, obviously, there is a major problem because his performances for United have been horrible. So like, how do you command the dressing room? It's like, for example, all of us, we work in companies. If we are the worst performer or one of the worst performers in the team, and then we have to hold our team meetings and tell other people, like, listen, do this, do that. What's going on? What is the problem? Like, the problem is, I'm also part of the problem, right? So like, how does the captain then get that respect or get people going on? When quite honestly, people in the back of the head, okay, in the meeting, they might be respectful, but in the back of the head, they'll be like, hey, who the fuck is he to tell me anything, right? So I just feel in the case of United, in the case of Maguire, I do not think he has it in him to command the respect of the dressing room or even to be Manchester United captain. As a matter of fact, I feel maybe getting him off captaincy could perhaps help him a little bit. Maybe it's too much of a role for him, too big a burden for him. And yeah, I just think that guy would probably be relieved.
Do you think there is someone else who can take that up right now in the current squad? Which is the question that remains, right?
Like the most obvious one, I guess. Yeah, Ronaldo. That's the most obvious one. Because having Ronaldo as captain, again, like everything that I said, he literally ticks the checklist. There's no one who will ever go up to Ronaldo and be like, listen, you're not the one putting in the effort. You're not the one actually driving the team on. Or everything that we've heard about him is that he's the hardest working player on the training grounds. He performs in big games, helps the team whenever the team needs him. So he's the perfect example, not just for his peers, but for the younger generation also to look up to him and be like, okay, this is the way we should be. So, yeah, the obvious example is Ronaldo. And then, you know, sadly, after Ronaldo, Manchester United have a lot of big-name players. Like, if you see a team on paper, a person would be... And if a person doesn't follow United, they would be like, okay, this team must be doing some, like, good stuff, you know, this season. So, we have big names. But how many of those big names actually convert on the field and hold the respect? Like, Pogba, he could have been Manchester United captain. But again, a player, at least at United, who's not been consistent, who's been a waste. Fernandes, again, can be captain, but he also can't control his emotions. Like we've seen in football matches, he loses it. He starts throwing his hands around, almost becomes like a little bit of a baby, you know, spoiled baby. And you don't need that from your captain. Maguire, again, Varane, I don't think he still has it in him to be captain, or maybe like his persona, or I don't know if he has a language barrier. Same thing with De Gea. So I just think like the obvious choice would be Ronaldo right now.
You don't believe there will be continuity issues in the sense that he's going to play for like 3 seasons and you all are going to get a groomed, another, like a separate groomed individual. Again, many questions which even Arsenal have to answer.
I just feel if Ronaldo ends up staying next season, obviously there's a new manager coming in, which most likely looks to be Erik ten Hag. So I feel having Ronaldo as captain, if he plans to stay, would be a sensible decision because he is someone who can like really push the team and be passionate. And quite clearly, he's passionate about the club also. He cares. So I think that would be very nice. And then having Ronaldo as captain, when Erik ten Hag comes in and I'm sure he'll get a lot of support from such a strong personality as Ronaldo as captain. And then he can start shaping and grooming the team he wants so that when Ronaldo leaves, he perhaps has like 2-3 options to select from who could be the next captain. And it could also help the team, whoever becomes the next captain, to know what are the responsibilities and how a captain should be in a player like Ronaldo. So there's like a reference they have, because right now the reference is Maguire, which I don't think is the best, right? So I think at least with Ronaldo, they'll have a higher standard of what a captain should be.
But just as a question, like sidetracking from the race for the top four, do you really believe, like, do you need Ten Hag? Because even Mazar, you mentioned, Ole was thrown under the bus because this team couldn't do well enough, which still seems to be the problem, right? So do you still believe like a managerial change is needed? Like, how often are you going to get a new manager bounce? Like, it's, you can't keep changing your manager till the point. I mean, at some point, you need to back him. Like, even when Arteta was having a poor spell, next window, he got, like, to sign his players, right? And maybe he did, like, at least he had a decent run up until the last three games. But, yeah, times, because Ole got a lot of time. Let's be honest. Like, he got
three seasons. Yeah, that's
pretty decent. He got a considerable amount of time to be backed in the window, to either or do something like what Michael Laudrup did, right? You are not backing me in the window or not backing me with the players I want, so I quit. It could have been either way. Like, Laudrup did the most badass thing I've ever seen then when he said, I am not going to manage Swansea because I'm not being backed as well as I want, right? So Ole got a lot of time, yes. Maybe he didn't get what he really wanted in the market, or yeah, maybe the right transfers which he believed he needed. But I don't think United fans are complaining about the transfers. So do you really believe like having a new manager is the go, like the way to go? Or is it like a 2 or 3 separate transfer windows for Ralf to work his magic?
So I think, firstly, I think in terms of Ole, in terms of the window, I think he was backed because he did get in some big signings. But again, see, backing is not just about the money spent and the players brought in. It is a lot to do with the kind of player that fits the system. You know, Van Gaal said that United are a commercial club, not a football club. They want to make these big name signings. It seems like with the Glazers, I read an article by the Atletico where they said the Glazers now, they don't know a lot of football players. They've only heard of the big famous football players and they think signing those players is like it. But it's not just about signing world-class players. It's about signing players that fit the manager's system and the future of the club. Because I think the Glazers have spent like over £1 billion. And we've had big name signings here. Yeah? You take Zlatan, who okay came on free, but then you've had a Pogba. We had Mata, who was a big name signing back then. Angel Di Maria, who broke the British transfer record. Sanchez, who was on like £500,000 a week. Ronaldo, Bruno Fernandes, Sancho. We've had all these big name signings. But the most important thing is, are these signings the signings that the manager wants? So as long as the manager doesn't want those signings and you're just signing them for commercial purposes, unfortunately, the manager will get shown the door. And then another thing that I realized about United, again, I think this was brought up by the Atletico, is that these guys sign these big players, give them huge contracts over a very long period of time, and they keep on extending the contract even if the player is not suited to the system because they want to protect the asset. Because they obviously have a huge debt, and from these assets that they sign, they get mortgages and loans from the bank and they become guarantees to the bank. And that is what United do. They do not sign players to support the system. They sign players to support the commercial interest. While during Ferguson's times, when we had Ronaldo, Wayne Rooney, who weren't superstars, but United made them into superstars. We made them into viable commercial assets, but we bought players that suited the system. Obviously, there were world-class players we would sign, but the system wasn't designed for commercial interest. It was designed for footballing interest, where I think is the major key point which lacks right now. And I just hope, like with a lot of discussion of Ten Hag, it seems like this guy is very clear-cut about the fact, and that's the reason the discussions have been going on for long, that he wants to know if he will be the final decision-maker or an important decision-maker in the players coming in and going out. So we need that strong manager, which I don't think Ole was. And I hope that Ten Hag coming in, he would bring that level of, he would be able to command the boardroom and be like, this is my responsibility, this is what I get, and then this is how things happen. So,
okay, now taking it back to another club, which is in the race, right? Tottenham is currently sitting on 4th, right? They have, 57 points with 32 games. United has 54, Arsenal has 54, but with a game in hand. We've seen a lot of teams fumble that game in hand thing, right? So I'm not going to say much about it. And then there's West Ham, who sit on 51 points with 32 games, right? I don't really think West Ham are in the race unless United, Arsenal, and Tottenham are just like, screw it, we don't want it only this season. I don't think West Ham are going to get it. But Tottenham seem to be on a bit of a revival, right? Except barring this, what, Brighton game, which happened. But Son seems to be doing well. A lot of interest in Tottenham at the moment because, well, I mean, they seem well positioned also as compared to these two teams which are losing form. So, Mazhar, what's your take on Tottenham? Do you think they have a realistic chance? Because Chelsea at this point, I think, have raced ahead. Chelsea are on, what, 62 points with 30 games. So, I think they've managed to make the buzz for top four at least. Like, I don't think much can happen to put them fifth. So, do you think Tottenham has it in them to keep both United and Arsenal at bay?
It's tough. It's Tottenham. Otherwise, I would have said yes. Otherwise, I would have definitely have said yes, 100% they will finish top four. In such a situation, only Spurs are capable of throwing it away. I mean, they do have the easiest fixtures too. So, I mean, it's hard to see how they won. And when Son gets going, who's going to stop him? And Conte is...
You know, Mazhar, I was just seeing Tottenham's fixture list. They have Liverpool, Arsenal back-to-back. So
but that's okay.
Yeah,
okay, but I mean, like, Spurs this season have performed Leicester. Well against the big teams. But and Leicester this season have just shat the bed. They only beat United. Yeah. So, I mean... No, but jokes apart, I think Spurs actually perform well in the big games. And their problem has been the smaller teams because they struggle to break them down. Because then these smaller teams have been packing the bus, grouping up on Son and Kane. And then there's no creativity. There's a lot of creativity lacking in that team when you do that. So I think that's the biggest issue for Spurs at the moment. They don't get output from their fullbacks as much as they would like. Doherty is by no means the Doherty was at Wolves. So I think the lack of output that they're getting from their fullbacks means that they struggle against the smaller teams because they're also not that big in size. I mean, yeah, okay, Eric Dio somewhat, but
that's okay. They aren't commanding in the box is what you mean.
Exactly.
Like, which is a fair observation, so, because even Kulusevski, who's big-ish, he's not really a center forward. So I get what you're saying.
So I feel like Liverpool is where they might actually come off with a point. I know Liverpool are absolutely balling right now. So it's very hard to take points off of them. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to that particular match. And so if Son turns up, he's a world beater at the end of the day. So if Son turns up, and even Kane, if you give him half a chance and he'll take it. So Van Dijk's going to be on his toes when they're playing. So I don't know. I would still say...
He needs only half a chance. Sorry to cut. He needs only half a chance to like trip himself in the box and then score a brilliant penalty. Bottom right corner, top left corner. He can go anywhere with a penalty and he needs just one moment, right? And exactly. What you said is spot on in the sense that they do so well against the big teams because the big teams are going to pressure you and they have everything in the locker to beat you on the counter. Everything. Yeah. They have absolutely everything. The top, like the front three is, say what you want about it. Like I am at the moment slightly envious of the fact that they have a front three which all on their day could turn a game, right? Like Arsenal's front three, I can't say the same about Lacazette. I don't know when he scored his last goal from open play. I have no memory or recollection.
It was back in December. I read a tweet today. It was back in December.
December of which year is my question? December of what? 2019? Like, honestly, like it's one of the areas which Arsenal lacks in the sense that Arsenal and Tottenham have the same problem in the sense that the moment the top 11, like the starting 11 is slightly tweaked because of an injury. They aren't the same team anymore, right? Partey going off, Emile Smith Rowe not turning up on a day because of whatever, in flu or this or that. That team just doesn't look the same. Tierney not being part of the squad because of an injury. Again, like Nuno Tavares just, I mean, he had like two miserable games, I think. And the fact that you want to sign a left back to replace a left back you signed is, I mean, you've had two left back signings, I think, in consecutive windows or in a span of a year. And yet that position is not like solidified by a player. One, because of injury. That is like pure misfortune in the sense that Tierney is that injury prone. But yeah, I think Tottenham, I don't think they have that much of a problem. They have three small teams to play and they have like two big teams and Leicester. Okay, Leicester, I will just say Leicester.
Mid-table because they can right also, now.
I mean, if they had they had Shinji Okazaki right now, I'd say that they are winning that game. But I can't really say the same. I mean, yeah, Leonard Ojoa and Shinji Okazaki, they were winning this game, but they don't have them anymore. So, and coming to the last of the lot in terms of the ones which I want to discuss or not discuss is the club I support, Arsenal. All right. And before anyone else says it, I want
Shubham's going to start on this one. Shubham's going to start.
I am
on
waiting. I'm just going to, accept defeat before it starts. But I think I've already like mentioned the crux of the problem, which is when the starting 11 is the one which you really want, like the the price players which you have in terms of Tierney and Partey and Emile Smith Rowe, who was doing so well. And I mean, it was an alternation between Smith Rowe and Martinelli, and like your center mid pairing just has to change because of a Partey injury or the AFCON or an injury before the AFCON. There's just too many iterations for who is leading the charge in the midfield, which has now off late, like the last three games really hampered us. And it seems like a, you know, season's worth of work is going down the drain, which is like almost painful. So again, last two games I haven't watched, and like someone called it, you know, like Southampton hadn't won a game in maybe I think eight matches, like the last eight Premier League matches, they were either draws or losses. And someone was like, just wait for Arsenal to turn their form around. And that's what happened. And yes, and someone's even mentioned this to me before, like, Arsenal sometimes, like, they need the Madrid away type of game. Like, Madrid away, the last time we played Madrid away was maybe never. But but you need that kind of a challenge to actually turn up. Otherwise, when you're playing Burnley, you just don't have enough tools to break them down consistently over 90 minutes. But they have that one tool, which is your, you know, Achilles heel. One long ball and then it's just a goal and a press which they will always beat, and a bus which we cannot beat, right? Because, well, again, lacking in size, very similar problem to Tottenham, I feel. Lacking in size in terms, like, the center mids are also averagely sized. they're not huge, okay? They're like, and which is where I really feel like Arsenal and Tottenham have the same problem. It's just the same problem, but they have more tools in the, because their top three is so good on a given day. Like Arsenal's top three, beautiful to watch, but might not score like five goals.
You know, sorry, so let's also Arsenal, sorry, Shubham, before you start. Also, just to add, they have a much better manager in Antonio Conte. I'm going to say,
of course.
So there's no question about that. So you can talk about all this bullshit. At the end of the day, Conte is a winner. Arteta,
I will never say Conte is not a winner.
One minute. I'm coming back to you on the manager thing. So, but before, like, my two thoughts about Arsenal. Firstly, I think Partey is honestly a beast. I had the chance to see him play live against Liverpool, and that guy is insane. So, okay, losing out on Partey, I can understand. But what I want to talk about with Arsenal is, I feel in the run-in with Arsenal, Tottenham and Liverpool, United, Arsenal are the team who are playing Tottenham and United. So I personally feel it is more in Arsenal's hand getting into top four as compared to United and Tottenham. If Arsenal beat United and Tottenham, that's it, right? It's done. Yeah. And then obviously you have to see out the rest of your games. So I think it is in their hands. But coming back to you, Gui, what I want to understand is, So Arsenal in the middle were on a mad run of form. They were winning a lot of games, which actually got them into this position. And if Arsenal don't get top four, what do you think the problem is? Is it just like the team is not good enough? There aren't good enough players outside the top 11? Or like how you mentioned that once the starting 11 changes and there are a few tweaks made, the team is just not the, what the team should be. Is it down to Arteta?
It's a depth issue. See, like,
I think Arteta is good enough.
Yes, I think at the moment he was getting the results with the team which he could make after. So if you look at previous season, right, the previous season there weren't the starting 11 itself wasn't good enough. Okay, like you didn't have 11 players who he wanted to field. All right, now he has 11 players who he would at least agree to field. Okay, on a given day, of which three or four aren't there because of maybe injury or niggles. So it's now a depth issue. If Nuno Tavares, okay, he was okay. He was fine. And then but he had those, you know, moments like Russell Westbrook moments, so like just switches off, passes it like in front of his keeper to the opponent team striker, which like those moments have happened with him. So again, he might not be bad, but he's not faultless, right? Like Tierney would never make that mistake. Other mistakes, maybe yes, but not that one specifically, which is like costing you a game. So it's now a depth issue, or maybe like the replacements which we have on the bench aren't really up to the level where they can at least cover for four games or five games or six games, which I understand you can't have like a starting 11 and then another starting 11. All right. But the quality gap is now massive. Like between Lokonga and Partey, again, I'm not saying Lokonga is bad, like he's unpolished. Partey has had a lot of time with a Champions League club in Atleti to like raise his game every day. Lokonga didn't. Nuno Tavares didn't, which is fair enough. Like Tierney is also like supremely experienced. He's been capped by his national team so many times. So their replacement, there is a gap in their replacement. Like Lacazette doesn't have a replacement. I'll go as far as to say that Lacazette doesn't have a replacement. Eddie Nketiah is not going to cut it as your second option center forward. It's just not happening. Similarly, Martinelli and Emile Smith-Rowe may be balancing out for each other. But just think about the world where there's no Saka in the team. Like who am I fielding on the right flank? Martinelli can't like reproduce himself on both flanks, right? Which is it's a depth issue to me. And the depth issue is it's actually like we are this close to like being sure of not finishing the top four. Remove one or two more players from this team and it's gone. It's like
you're
gone.
Right.
There's no chance.
There's definitely an over-reliance on Saka especially, and we've seen it this season, but that guy's also a gem. And I take back whatever I said about him in that previous episode. Definitely, he's proven his mettle now. Like I said, he had a lot to prove, but he's proven it and more. And also, fuck Greenwood. That's a different issue. So, but guys, you know what'll be hilarious though? We're saying all of this. But the
and none of them get top four.
No. They will. One of them will get top four. But it'll be hilarious because if West Ham go ahead and win the Europa League.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Then they're anyway going to be those four teams. And then the fifth one will feel so shitty anyway. They'll be like, man, we should have just focused on the Europa League. There. And then Arsenal will be thinking, man, you know, we're not probably
what happens
ready
if you
for the
win
Champions
the
League. Maybe
what win happens if you win the Conference League?
You go, you get promotion to the Europa League.
Europa.
Oh.
So I mean, no, but honestly, like, coming back to what you said, Gui, I think, like Shubham said, I think it's in Arsenal's hands. At least for Arsenal's case, it's in their hands. In a way, United, I don't know what to say. They shat the bed too many times. They should have been in a comfortable position already. Just bad performance after bad performance after bad performance. And the thing is, it's so sad because when you don't get Ronaldo's output, there's nothing in the team in the attacking sense. And
so dependent on him.
Yes, we're so dependent. And how was he ever the problem? I keep coming back to that, but it's another issue altogether. Like, and I feel for Rangnick as well because it's hard for an interim manager. The world knew that he was interim, and that's the entire problem. And he actually set up the team to win 10-0, 9-0, 7-0 easily. The number of chances we created, what, in three games, and we scored, what, one goal. So, I think it was, what, 50 chances? No, I don't remember the number, but it was some ridiculous number. 45
Arre bro, if
chances.
You remember that FA Cup game where we got knocked out, we created like so many chances, couldn't score a single goal, man.
That was the handball one, no?
Yeah, the basketball player. The basketball. No, fine, forget that. I mean, you can fault, that was a terrible VAR call, but you can fault that. But they should have buried the game. At the end of the day, Boro just deserved to go through because of how bad United were when it came to finishing. So, but yeah, Gui, I mean, I'm done. I think Arsenal, I'm standing with what I say. Arsenal will take fourth.
Fingers crossed, my friend. And I think with that, Mazhar, Shubham, and I want to sign off from the podcast. Also from this season's Premier League watching experience, because none of us seem to be enjoying it. All of us just want to turn off the TV. I mean, Malu started following so much F1. I'm like, arre, what is this? This guy's coming for me, I think. But yes, I mean, it's a sign of the times where United and Arsenal are battling for top four. Anyway, fingers crossed that one of our teams only gets it. Hopefully my team gets it. But what? No. Anyway, I think this calls for an end to this discussion. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks, Mazhar and Shubham, for joining me on the pod. I mean, you all always do join me on the pod. But thank you anyway for your insights on this one. And we'll see you next time. Thank you, everyone.
If you like this episode, make sure to leave a like and share it with anyone else who might be interested. You can also subscribe on any social media platform that you prefer, and all our links are in the bio. We also have a website with all our episodes, as well as blogs and a whole lot of other sports content, so make sure to check that out as well.